Listen, I'm going to tell you something. When you find Jesus Christ, nobody is going to be able to hold you back. Nobody is going to stop you from worshiping God. Nobody is going to stop you from being on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. Just yesterday, we began a message called The Point of the Matter, and today you'll hear that conclusion. But if you missed yesterday, a couple of things you need to be reminded of. One, the old ways in the Old Testament of following God and that particular covenant still has value, but it's not the completion of where we are. As a matter of fact, God's got a better way. None of us can toe the line to the letter of the law. So here's what Dr. Don said yesterday. God gave a better way. He said, I'm going to give you Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's lay our relics down. Let's do that. As we lay our relics down and open God's Word to the book of Hebrews with Dr. Don Wilton today.
Now, I want you to think about this incredible country in which we live. Some of you need just a good dose of a place like Rome. I mean, these people all over, I've been all over the world, their homes are small and everything's scrunched up and their food is awful. I'm telling you now, you get better Italian food at Olive Garden. Did I say that? No, it's wonderful. I'm just putting this. Come on, let's just be real, folks. Hey, let's do a little bragging here for a minute, can we? Why are we so quiet? I'll brag, man. I tell you, I'll put America up against anybody. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You want to, I mean, the streets and the landscape, the beauty of this place, most of all the people, the American people, man, I just want to get out there and give a bear hug. Every American I ever see. You know, when you're overseas and you hear someone speaking and you know they come from the same place you can, you just want to go up and smooch them right there in public. Get arrested. So what? You know, a few weeks in a Turkish jail, I mean, who cares? So let me tell you about America. This country was founded, we know the history of America. In God we trust. This country was founded upon the principles of God's word. Go and do your history. Our institutions were all established in the name of Jesus. This was established as a Christian, God-fearing nation. And in a sense, I'm speaking to you symbolically, in a sense, folks, I really believe, you look at the history of America today, God reached down and took us by the hand. You think of how many wars this nation has delivered other people from their bondage. How many wells have been dug. How much generosity comes out of America. The influence, the spirit that has come out of the heart of the American people. God took us and He just put His hand upon us. And we've become unfaithful. We've kicked Him out of our schools, our institutions, our homes, our lives. We've erected tombs to unknown gods. We've become pagan worshipers. We're nothing but a bunch of Epicureans and Stoics. We all say, oh yeah, God's up there somewhere by whatever you call Him, but we don't believe and we play a game with God and we've started worshiping our stained glass windows. This is what He's talking about. Now the point of the matter is there are two big issues. Number one, the people did not remain faithful, and there are just far too many of our people that have not remained faithful to the Lord. And secondly, God turned away from them. By the way, can you turn God's mind? Yeah. Is it too late? No. I think God's sending us warning signs from everywhere. Is it not amazing to you folks that there can be a coalition of countries, I haven't got the number, led by the United States, coming against one terrorist group called ISIS, And we haven't even put a dent to stop them.
What?
What are we facing? But it's not over there. It's not just over there on the other side. It's right in here. It's where we are. There's hardly a day goes by. We don't turn on the television. There's another school shooting. Do you know in Europe, folks, when you walk around in Europe, from Turkey to Greece to Italy to Austria, all these places, go and look how their children go to school, many of them. They little courtyards with cement little nothingnesses. They rammed in between, jammed on hillsides. They've got nowhere to play. Look at our schools. Trees, parks, ball fields. We've taken it so seriously, folks. We even have everything going on. It doesn't matter when it is. Everything's more important than worshiping the Lord. And yet with all of these blessings, every day we turn on television set, someone else has gone on the rampage at a school in America. I'm just trying to get to all the bottom of this. I'm asking myself a lot of questions about this. You see, there were five failures that the writer to the Hebrews pointed to. I want to just give you these five failures. Number one, the failure of the high priest. Right there in verse 3. We've gone through this. The high priest was appointed by man. And if you go back into chapter 8, he did not come with an oath, and the high priest could not live forever. Every one of them died. Not so Jesus. If you go back into the scriptures and you look at what the Bible says, for example, in chapter 7 and verse 21, this one was made a priest by an oath by the one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." And this makes Jesus the guarantor of the better covenant. So the first failure was related to the priestly class. I've got to look at myself. I think we pastors in America, the ministers, we are failing very miserably. The preachers and teachers of the truth of God's word are going to be held accountable, because it's becoming more popular to get up in the pulpits and platforms of America and deliver nothing but gobbledygook. People want to hear it. The popular thing today is to just simply remove all, any kind of discussion about the justice of God and about the wrath of God or about a living hell or about sin. Don't talk about sin. Their first failure was related to the high priest. Their second failure was related to the giving of gifts and sacrifices, according to verse 3. And I mean, there are many parallel texts here that I could take you to. Chapter 5, verse 1, every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God and to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. Look at our text. In chapter 8 and verse 3, every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. They failed. What were the gifts and sacrifices? They were non-eternal things. The blood of sheep and bulls were non-eternal blood. But when Jesus came and he shed his blood, he gave his life-giving blood. They failed. That old system didn't work. They couldn't keep up. It was imperfect. It was incomplete. Number 3, the earthly tabernacle in verse 5, which was just a shadow of the real thing. It was an incomplete tabernacle. God called Moses up to the mountain. He said, "You've got to do this the way I tell you to do it." And he did it the way God told him to do it. But he could never get to the point at which he could reach into the portals of heaven, into the very zone and orbit God's galactic presence, right there into the throne of the one true God. The church, it failed. It couldn't do it. Number 4, the old covenant law. In verse 7 here, he made it very clear that the old law, the rules, the regulations, no man could keep up with that. Jesus didn't come to replace the law. He came to fulfill the law. I remember preaching a series on the Ten Commandments. You and I came to the conclusion how unbelievably important those commandments are, but how incredibly impossible it is for any person to be able to keep those commandments according to the law of God. That's why we are saved by grace through faith. Not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Failures? There were five failures: the high priest, the giving of gifts and sacrifices, the early tabernacle, the old covenant law, and number five, they failed when it came to the favor of God. The Bible made it very clear here, quoting the prophet Jeremiah, that I will show no concern for them because they are a faithless people. Most people today want to find favor with God. If I was to ask you today, do you want to have peace with God? What would you say? I do. I've made my peace with God. I read recently a story about a man who lived his whole life and he was wrongfully treated and lived his whole life like that. Got to the end of his life and realized that his life was coming to an end and made it his mission to go and find the people that he had such a conflict with all his life. And his really final remarks on this earth was, you know, I've made my peace with those people. And the Bible tells us because of the faithlessness of the children of Israel, they could find no favor with God. And there are so many people today, people just like you and me, our sons and our daughters and our loved ones, people looking for peace with God. The Bible says you can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. You can be reconciled to Him. That's through Jesus Christ. That's the point of the matter. Jesus is the point of the matter. And verse 1 and verse 2 of chapter 8 tells us why Jesus is the point of the matter. Number one, because He is our high priest. Jesus is our high priest. The priests served their time, but they were imperfect. They were incomplete. Jesus is our high priest. He went to the cross. He's the Son of God. He gave His life. And when He died on the cross, the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. The way was opened for you and for me through Jesus to enter the Holy of Holies. Isn't that fantastic? Do you know that every single one of us, through Jesus, can enter into the presence of the holiness of God? He's our high priest. He is. He's the one. He's the only one. You see, the priests essentially did three things, folks. They interpreted for the people the things of God. Number two, they instructed the people in the things of God. And number three, they interceded for the people in behalf of God. Jesus is our high priest. What does Jesus do for us? He interprets God for us. That's what He does. He instructs us in who God is because He is God. And He intercedes on our behalf before the throne of God. It's actually fantastic. That's how we gain access to God. Jesus is the main point. Look at that verse 1. Now the point of what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest. I can stand here, folks, and talk about all the woe me this and the woe me that. I can stand here and talk about how many times I've failed as a pastor, as a minister. You and I can look at each other and say, man, we've sinned exceedingly in the sight of God. We can go through the history of the United States and talk about the way in which our country is moving away from the Lord every single second of every day. And these things we know it's true, folks. We know in America we've got a spiritual and moral crisis. We know that. Only people who don't know God would dispute that. And there's a growing number of them. Don't expect an unbeliever to agree with you when you say that. Unbeliever doesn't care about prayer. Unbeliever doesn't care about spiritual and moral value that comes from the scriptures. I can tell you, every Bible-believing Christian person knows what I'm talking about. You know that. This is not dissing America. This is not getting against it. This is not. But here's the bottom line, folks. Jesus is our high priest.
You're listening to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. And today's message, the point of the matter, has just a little bit more to come. So that's on the way. Please don't go away. But know this, in the middle of studying God's Word, of understanding each of these points, including the Old Covenant Law Dr. Don just mentioned, you may have found some questions, or maybe you're questioning your own situation and circumstance with God. Let us pray you through the next step, whatever that might be. If you'd like to speak with someone, not just now during the broadcast, but anytime, day or night, this phone number, 866-899-WORD, will connect you with one of us, happy to talk, to listen, to pray, and perhaps put resources in your hand that will give you a greater understanding of God's encouraging word and His desire to encourage you to a much better life. Again, the phone number is 866-899-9673. And the challenge of God's Word is one of those things that it's applied to us on a daily basis. And perhaps you've been stirred by what you're hearing from Dr. Wilton today. I would encourage you to allow yourself to stir yourself via email every day. You can sign up for a free email from Dr. Don on our website, theencouragingword.org. Just by clicking on the icon, it's the Daily Encouraging Word. You can also receive a physical copy. If you'd like to have, we have a little booklet version of it that has 3 months of the Daily Encouraging Word. And you can ask for that by calling 866-899-9673. And just let us know you're interested. It's free for the asking. That's the Daily Encouraging Word at 866-899-9673. And yes, that line will help you connect with resources, but it's first and foremost a prayer line available for you 24 hours a day. 866-899-9673. Now back to today's message, the point of the matter with Dr. Don Wilton.
That's what he's saying. Here's the point. See, folks, I've made a decision in my life. I'm not going to go through the rest of my life just looking in the rearview mirror, being bar humbug, being a downer all the time. I'm not going to do it. I want to know that Christ is my Savior and Lord, and I do know that, and He's filled me with joy, and He lifts up my head, and I've got something great to share with you, because I know that there are so many today, people that I know, people that I don't know, that you're looking for something more in life. You want fulfillment and meaning. I'm meeting more and more people that are getting to the point of the end of their life, and it's almost like they are like Ernest Hemingway. I never met Ernest Hemingway for obvious reasons, but I've read some of his books, a great writer. I've been to some of the places, like down in Key West. I mean, this was an incredible person, Ernest Hemingway. But on his deathbed, Ernest Hemingway said, "My life is like a broken television with the plug pulled out of the wall." Can you imagine dying like that? Jesus is our high priest. Number two, the point of the matter, he's the point of the matter because he's seated at the right hand of God. That's what he says here, the one who is seated at the right hand of God. That's a powerful thing, folks, that speaks to his authority, his power. In Revelation chapter 5, powerful passage in Revelation, right after John on the island of Patmos looks up and is taken up into heaven, and he arrives in heaven and he paints this incredible picture of the throne of God. And in chapter 5, he sees the one seated at the right hand of God, and in his hand, in his right hand, he's got a scroll. That scroll is the title deed of the earth. And the angels and the elders and those surround the throne say, Who in the world is going to be able to open up the ownership of the earth and the people and all of creation? There's nobody that can do it excepting Jesus Christ the Lamb, the one who is seated at the right hand of the Father which is in heaven. He is the one. He's the one. He made you. He loves you. Why is he the point of the matter? Well, chapter 8 tells us, here's the point of the matter. Here's the bottom line. Jesus is our high priest. He's the one seated at the throne. Number 3, he is serving the true tabernacle of the Lord. The Bible tells us in verse 2 that it's Jesus Christ who is the minister. And he's the minister. He's the pastor. He's the senior pastor. No man can come anywhere close to him. Not the Pope, not the great evangelist, not the senior pastor of Spartanburg First Baptist Church. Not you, not me. Only he. Because he is the only one who serves in the true tabernacle of the Lord. Which means he has been taken up to be seated in the presence of a holy and a righteous God, because he is God. He is God. Well, there's a fourth reason why Jesus is the point of the matter. Because he's the one who is set up by a sovereign God. Don't let that one little phrase at the end of verse 2 skip you. That the Lord set up, not man. God made the decision. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God. He was set up by God. This is God's decision, folks. And we got a lot of things going on. We make a lot of decisions about a lot of issues. But when it comes to salvation and the matters of righteousness and the favor of God, God's made the decision. We don't have to have a council. We don't have to have a meeting. We don't have to have a congress. We don't have, it's settled. He's set up by the Lord. So what I'm just simply telling you today, here's the point of the matter. You ready for this? All of this stuff. You know, if we were, when we leave today, when we're through, when we get on about our business, when we go back and watch our games, when we cook our meat and have fellowship over food together, when we walk in the marketplace of life, here's the bottom line. When we think about, say, oh man, we needed, what's going, when we pray for people who have been so bereaved, doesn't your heart go out to parents when you hear about these shootings? We got a lot of serving, a lot of loving, a lot of giving to do. But here's the point. Here's the point of the matter. Jesus, he's better. He's the greatest. Give your life to Christ. Turn your heart over to him. Friend, don't go through life looking for meaning in all the wrong places. Don't erect monuments to unknown gods. Enjoy life. Have a ball. Be grateful. Wherever it is you want to go. Isn't it just great? But please, give your heart to Jesus. Give your life to Christ. That's the point of the matter. I want to invite you to trust him today. Would you give your life to Jesus? Just trust Jesus. I'm telling you, when you give your life to Christ, when you come confessing, bowing to him, you turn your life over to him, you cannot imagine the peace that comes into your heart and life. All of a sudden, life comes into full perspective. You can call us during the week. By the way, you don't have to wait until tomorrow. By the way, you don't even have to be in church to give your heart to Jesus. But I beg you to do it now. Just trust him. Confess your sin. Repent of your sin. Turn your life over to him. Do it. Don't wait until tomorrow. Just do it.
Maybe you've heard Dr. Wilton say that before and you're wondering, is it really true? Can God change me to the point where I'll never be the same again? It is absolutely true. And I challenge you that even if you don't believe that, test God in that. Surrender is such a hard thing to do, but once we do it and watch God take over, it'll change your life forever. If nothing else, let's have a conversation about it. We have great friends taking your calls right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And if it didn't make sense what Dr. Wilton was saying as he was wrapping up his message, here's Dr. Don one more time.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news. And by the way, don't go away, because I'll be right back in just a minute.
Once more, the phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or you can meet us online at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. I just want to say thank you. So many of you are helping us, praying us through this ministry of sharing Christ around the globe and helping us financially as well. Thank you for becoming an encourager.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number on your screen and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me.
That number again is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. I know that's a mouthful, but it's simple, three words, theencouragingword.org. We would love to connect with you and connect you with resources that will help you grow in God's encouraging word.
Well, here I am again. What a day this has been. You know, one of the things I want to say to you is let's stay connected. You know, we've got so many means to be able to do that. You can write to us, email us. You've got all the details right there in front of us. We're a family together. We stay connected in so many ways. And your life is very important to me. I see you there. And God shows me. And I want to be able to pray with you and connect with you and be a vital part of your relationship, your growth. Your needs are mine. I'm walking in your shoes. And I want to pray for you. Please don't stop. Call us, write us, keep praying, keep giving, keep connecting, keep rejoicing, keep celebrating, keep striving. God is on His throne. This is the Encouraging Word. And now you know why.